Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig, and hanging out in the corridors in Agile 2013 in Nashville, in Tennessee. And who do I run across but Kenny Rubin? How you doing, Kenny?
Craig, I'm doing great.
So we've kind of spoken to each other for a little while on email and things. When we first met up, you were out in Australia for the Scrum Australia conference a little earlier this year.
I was.
And good to see you here at Agile 2013.
Good to see you as well.
So what's going on in your world?
It remains pretty similar. I'm still doing a lot of training, a lot of coaching. The good news is, you know, my book's been out, so I don't have to go back to my hotel room every night and write for 3 hours, you know, now that that's done. But I think the summer in the U.S. is a little bit slower time, but we're gearing up for fall, so it's going to be pretty interesting here very quickly.
So you mentioned the book, Essential Scrum, mm-hmm. which ever since seeing your talk, I was already a fan. I'd already read it with my work with InfoQ, but been showing that to a lot of people and some really good feedback coming from that. What sort of feedback are you hearing on the book?
Well, so far it's all been pretty positive. I'm happy with not only how the book is selling, but right now it has, I think, 80 reviews out on Amazon, and most of those are 5-star. So I think people seem to like it. When I come to a conference like this, a lot of people will come up and make remarks on how the book has helped them right within their team. So I wrote it really to be an aid, right, to those people who, if I'm not going to be in there training them, they have something they can read as a starting point. And I think it's working both with the novices and with more experienced teams. So honestly, it was a lot of work, but I'm happy with the results. So good about that.
And there's some cool stuff that came out. I mean, I think the first thing I really like about the book is I've always been an advocate for Scrum, but I've also been an advocate for XP and Kanban, and there's a lot of these religious wars that go on in that space. But it's a book that gets to the essence of Scrum, but doesn't actually throw Scrum down you in your face either. It's it's open and says, look, there's other things that you need to take into consideration here, and takes into consideration wider than the team as well as the organization.
It does, and what I tried to do when I laid out core principles, the way the book starts is by laying down foundational principles, and I think a lot of people who read this, like, it seems like you casted a wider net than what would traditionally been thought of as just Scrum principles. And my response to that is, well, perhaps, but they're important. And I think that if you really want to apply Scrum in an economically sensible way, you better be comfortable with these principles. Otherwise, you're likely to make localized decisions that could act not in your best interest long term. So I really do think you do want a wide net out there when you're looking at the core principles. There's not that many of them. But some people, so it looks like there's some lean principles and there's some other agile-related principles. Yeah, I'm less concerned about how we label them and more concerned with how we apply them.
And the thing I really like the book is that quite often I'll get people come to me and go, you know, what's a book I can sort of get started on? It really captures the essence of that. There's not too many books that, there's lots of really good books in our community, mm-hmm. but it's as you say, it's one that almost emulates seeing you in person.
I appreciate you saying that. That was the intent. The question I would always get when I would teach a class would be, what books would you recommend? And there's actually a large number of good books that are out there. But what I realized is I was recommending books that, when you add up the total page count, was probably several thousand pages across all those books.
And or even worse, right, read chapter 3 of that and
chapter
7
of that.
Right,
you pick and choose the ones you want. And there are books that are very good in sort of vertically deep areas. And what was clear to me, what was missing was sort of a definitive guide to Scrum sort of end-to-end that you would use and then complement it with some of these other books that are vertically deep, and that's the book that I tended to write.
And the other thing that I like in there is it's very, a lot of illustrations in there. Mm-hmm. It's always been hard in the Scrum community to find, you know, a good illustration that says this is how Sprint works, or this is how Scrum works, or those types of things. And you made those available as part of the book.
I did, yeah. I created a new visual language. We refer to it as the visual agile lexicon. And
I couldn't get wrap my mind about it. I'll probably get
a mouthful,
it right.
Right?
So, I was hoping you would lead with that.
We went with the word lexicon because, in a sense, my original goal was to come up with a vocabulary for describing agile, where you could then take the individual elements and compose the equivalent of sentences, right? Pictures. And so the book itself has 208 pictures in it. Most of them are composed out of that visual vocabulary. The ones that aren't are like traditional graphs, bar graphs or line graphs. And most of those images are available for download off the Inolution.com website. You know, there's a license agreement, but it's a no-cost agreement. People just say, click here, and they can download. And people can then use those graphics in their own presentations. And I've had probably 10 people so far at this conference come up and go, oh yeah, I'm using the graphics in my presentation and I love it. I'm glad there's a language now. Mm. So if you're interested, by all means, go free, go over and download and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I think it's great that even as part of a medium which is printed, I mean, we've got electronic, but still something you can't get out of. You've sort of taken the things that people can reuse and build upon, without sort of,
right.
Because it's the essence, right? We're all here talking the same thing, learning off each other, and it's great that you've got those things that are open.
Well, and some people are just visual learners. I'm that kind of person. If I hear the description of it, I'll remember to a certain extent, but if I see a really clear picture or graphic of it, I'm much more likely to retain the information. So when I wrote the book, I probably spent half the time on that book on the art.
Nice.
Really to try and get the art down. And sometimes I would do the art first and then write the text for the chapter, right, to go with it. So I think this is why the downside to that is I can't do an audiobook, or it'd be difficult to do it. With 208 pictures, it's a lot visual in this book. So the book has two color art. On the website is all the four color art, which is really what you would want to put in your presentations.
I think there's a challenge there now to see how I could read your book as an audiobook, Karen.
I'm a big fan of audiobooks with my travel schedule. It's easy just to listen when I'm in a car driving from place to place, but I don't know. I was actually met with my publisher this morning, and he said they're going to check and see if Amazon has suggestions for how they would do that, because Amazon owns a company called Audible, which is where most of the audiobooks are located. So we'll see. Maybe.
I actually haven't checked. Is there many traditional Scrum Agile books that are in audiobook?
I haven't found any.
No, I wasn't saying, I haven't seen any either. I mean, you get the more business related books,
right?
That things like Drive and things that's how I listen. Oh, that's how I read Drive.
You get those, and you get obviously fiction. That works well in audio format. There are some technical books in there, but what you find is, and I have some of the printed versions and the audio version, and we're talking about books that have maybe 10 pictures and they're simple graphs. My book unfortunately has complex art in it, because it's really trying to communicate some interesting concepts.
And I think it'd be easier than doing a programming book, right? Like, here's the line count.
Right, I think a programming book would be impossible. You don't want someone reading off the code as it's going across. So, yeah, I guess it falls into that category.
Well, if you're as old as me, you remember the old magazines where they printed the source code in the back of the
like
back of the
magazine.
So actually, I think that might be a return. I could be sitting on the train just retyping in the code, right?
That brings back some good memories. But yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe it's possible, but it's in print. It's in Kindle. That makes it at least accessible to a lot of people.
I hadn't thought about the audiobook. That's pretty awesome. So what do you see at the conference? You're giving a couple of talks here, or we're just talking about your program management type talk?
Yeah, I did a presentation earlier today. Today's Tuesday at the conference, and I had one on strategies for agile portfolio management. And there are about 200 people in the room, well attended. And
I reckon at least 50 of those ones I sent your way. So.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I found interesting, and this is appealing to me. I scanned the room to see who was in there that I knew, and there was probably maybe five or six people in the room that I knew, which says that at this conference there's obviously a lot of people that are newer, or certainly people I hadn't met. That doesn't mean they're not older to Agile, but a lot of people that were new to me, and it was exciting to have them in the room. And that topic is always of interest, because most large companies are suffering this problem. On Thursday, I'm doing one on feature versus component teams.
Okay.
Talk about trade-offs when scaling. I want to get a little bit past the dogma, which is typically, and the Agile dogma these days is feature team good, component team bad. And what I hope to show is that doesn't make any sense. Right? You have to look at the economics of the choices in order to determine what is the right type of team structure for achieving good flow. So that'll be the purpose of Thursday.
That is kind of a message I'm hearing here at the conference quite a bit. I mean, it's not a new message, but one that's, I think, just being... There's always something that comes through underneath a conference like this, and it is really that there's no right or wrong. That to me seems to be a very strong message I'm hearing. A lot of the talks I'm going to is that, this is just a bunch of stuff, and, we have to figure out the right thing for the right occasion.
We do, and the way I approach it, and because we were together in Australia, and you saw some of the work I showed down there, I drive everything from a core economic framework, and the reason being that if you understand the core principles, then you can apply them in an economically sensible way. At the end, you'll be able to make the right decision for your organization. And just because someone at a different company tried something and it worked really well there, it may or may not work well for us at our company. And so I think dogmatic responses like this is always good or that's always bad, it fails to recognize the diversity of application types that people work on and the diversity of companies and cultures. This doesn't make any sense. So I think what you do is you have I think having a framework in place for making decisions is important. But it may lead one company to one decision and another company to a totally different decision. That's perfectly fine, as long as they're being made in a sensible way. So Thursday's going to focus on that. This conversation seems to be a lot on scaling, so we'll see how well that goes over.
I think it's good, and this comes back to what we're talking about in your book, is that we're getting away from this, there's this prescribed agile, prescribed scrum, or prescribed scrum, Kanban. There is, I think there's still pockets in our community that have some strong feelings about that, but I'm getting that sense from most people that we're really just here to share, and that's actually why I love coming here all the time.
I think we're both here for the same reason, right? It's the conversations like this in the hallways that really make conferences strong. We get to see people, hear their opinions, but I'm excited to be here and looking forward to the rest of the week.
So anything you're sort of looking out for? What are you here to learn or to see?
Yeah, for me, the seeing is really the interactions with the various people. In my typical style, I put a list together of all the people I know I want to meet up with, and I leave a bunch of open spots for the people I don't even know that I want to meet up with, but I will as soon as I meet them, or at least interact with them. So to me, this is a successful conference if I get a chance to interact with people like yourself.
Excellent. I'm on the list. Beautiful.
So you were on the list. I knew you were coming. We exchanged emails prior to that. But it's a good venue. The Gaylord's a nice place to do. It's a large hotel. You don't feel cramped in here.
If you feel cramped in here, something's wrong, I think.
Yeah, you get lost in here.
Someone said to me the other day that they had their pedometer and they in a day walked 3.4 miles.
It takes me 15 minutes to get from where I'm back to my room. So if you've never been to a Gaylord, it's a little city into itself. So it's nice to see. But I'm looking forward to the rest of the week and then off to a little bit of relaxing before we get back into training again.
Excellent. And so what's on the horizon for you? Anything major?
So between now and the end of the year, a lot of training's already scheduled and a couple conferences that I'm looking at. There's one in Europe I'm targeting. And I try to do a lot of local user groups. So I'm making a policy if I'm in a town. So if you're listening to this and if you have an interest in someone speaking at your user group, let me know. Right? If I'm in your city, I'll work really hard to find a date where I can do it when I'm there. And so a lot of those are planned. And I've already done a bunch, so all good.
I run a user group, so if you're ever in Brisbane, Australia, come and say hello. You're most welcome. But I think there is that difference. I hear some people sort of say to me that the conferences are too big, but I think we need those scales. Mm-hmm. You've got meetups which are local people with a mix of people who come into town that are at the coalface, that are sharing things all the time. And then you have things like the scrum gatherings, right, which are a little smaller, a little more compact, but are people getting together. And then you have these type of things which you need, which for us is that we do get to see each other at them, but we're also seeing a new batch of people come through. And
I do agree with that. The scale issue, I think, is important. And I mean, this year, I'd say a number of the local meetups that I've done ranged from 50 to 80 people. Cozy, everybody's in the room. Those are nice. You're together. Occasionally, I have to do one remote because the dates don't match up. And then I did a PMI, a sort of a Agile Community of Practice meeting last week, or 2 weeks ago, 700 people online from all over the world. I was fascinated. I had people logging in 12 hours. It was like midnight their time to listen. So, kudos to that community for having such interest in Agile. But I love the diversity of it, right? And shows like this, I'll have 200 people in the room again on Thursday. Fantastic. But small or large, as long as the people are interested, it's a good show.
Your book is awesome. If they want to find out some more details about you, Kenny, where do they go?
I appreciate that. My website, which is inolution.com, it's inolution.com, and the book is Essential Scrum, and I host a little sub-site on the Inolution site for Essential Scrum, but if you just Google that, you'll find it at the site. But feel free, and that's where the language is. If you want to download the Visual Agile Lexicon and the pictures, they're on that website as well.
Excellent. Well, great running into you in the hallway, Kenny, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Cheers, Nate.
Thank you.